What's up, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Checkup Podcast featuring myself, Mark Jackson, and my co-host, Alex Collins. Alex, how you doing out there, man?
Man, I'm good, Armani, bro. Good. Whole new week, NBA, man. Got some good topics to talk about. Can't wait to get started.
Yeah. Hey, to get started, man, with Draymond Green's situation yesterday in his post-game interview, how you feel about that, man, with the situation with, you know, the power of the player and also with the way managing of players is going right now? With the trade market and the buyout market coming out pretty soon in about a month. How you feel about that?
I think that there needs to be another step in understanding from the team president and understanding of an organization as far as how they value a player and what they think a player should be able to do and say. I've been listening, and I know that players give a lot of things in the last CBA that was created. I know that for a fact. The next CBA, the time's up for that one. There's gonna be so many different changes for that CBA. That negotiation is probably gonna take forever to get done. Mm-hmm. So you could see a potential lockout again, because players are held to a standard that teams are not held to, because teams ultimately hold the power. Obviously, they hold the players' paychecks. The teams work directly with the NBA. It's all, you know, and so it's clear who's in charge. And so when you have a situation like James Harden, we've been talking about all year, you know, who told the organization, yo, I don't want to play here anymore, told publicly people, I don't want to play here anymore. It was interviewed, so I don't want to play here. And everyone from every area of the media to people on social media, they were all like, yo, you can't come out and say that. You can't come out and be like, you can't half-ass on the game, on the court. Or you can't be like, got to be in and invested until the day that you're no longer on that team.
Right.
I understand if that's how it worked in both ways. If it worked both ways, then yeah, I would understand. Okay, you signed a contract, you fulfilled a contract. I don't want to hear no griping and complaining, no moaning. Do your job. But if a team can sign me to that same contract and then I'm healthy, I'm available,
right,
mm-hmm, and choose not to play me because they no longer find value in what I bring to the court, what I bring to the team, and tells me that they're just going to sit me out like they're doing Andre Drummond right now. They told him he's going to sit out until the March trade line, the March 25th trade line, the deadline.
Right. Yeah.
That's over a month of basketball. The man is averaging 15 and 13 right now. Mm-hmm. So if he's been out a month, that means every team that's looking for him knows that that guy's been out a month, okay? That means when I go pick him up, he's not ready to go immediately because he needs to get to catch up on a month worth of game touches, game reps. I don't care if you're healthy. I mean, staying healthy and stuff, like, that's cool. But now you got to go to a new team, and you haven't been playing basketball for a month. So now you got to learn a new system and get reacclimated and do all this. But why is that okay? You know, and we've got another situation up in Detroit with Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin.
Both of these teams have decided that they want to go in a different direction for their future. And we as fans and people, we find that to be okay, because at some point you can change direction.
Right. It's been more common lately.
Yeah, it's a lot more common lately. But I also think that both of these teams in question went out of their way to bring these players to the organization. Neither one of these players started with the teams they're on right now. Neither one of these players asked to come to the team they're on right now. Both of them were traded while in contract from a team that no longer saw value in them and said, okay, we're going to trade you. But at least they have the decency to let you continue to play until they traded you.
Right.
Blake, you're not getting no minutes up in Detroit no more. But my question is why? Okay, you want to move in a new direction, in a younger direction, get the younger guys some more burn. But my thing is, you got a 72-game season. He only going to be there a month longer if you want. And he's better than all the people you have on the roster now. So is it better to at least play against him in practice, show them what it's supposed to be, and then get him out of there and actually have him play so his trade value is actually there? Because if I run an NBA team and you're telling me the guy that you have right now who – Andre Drummond, a perennial all-star, multiple NBA rebounding leader. You're telling me that this guy, who has nothing wrong with him physically, right? Nothing wrong with him mentally. Nothing wrong with him as far as his relationship with the coaching staff and the team and his teammates. and you're telling me that you want to trade him because you want to move in a younger direction? Now, if you ask me, some of that, that doesn't make sense for a team
that
literally has nothing going on. Now, if you had told me that you were shopping Andre Drummond on the trade block because the Cleveland Cavaliers need some more players and that's the best asset they have, that's fine. But why are you benching
him? Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Why are you benching him? Kevin Love ain't come back to play yet. If who you believed he to be when you first got him, why did you keep Andre Drummond in the first place? Why didn't you throw him out in the trade to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Why keep him? I'm not sure that they really knew what their big vision is. If I'm looking at another team, okay, you went out and got this guy a year ago.
What's wrong with him? Drummond
has been exactly who he's been his entire career. He has done nothing in Cleveland. He hasn't done his entire career in Detroit. So if you went out and got him, and he's the same guy he's always been, but he's not the guy for you anymore. What did you see a year ago? What was your plan a year ago? Teams don't really be having these plans like that. They just be scrambling to solve a solution and to fight back to do this and do that, and players just get flung in the mix. But if a player was trying to do that, you need to be loyal to the fans, to the team, to the place that gave you opportunity, to this, to that, but that's not a two-way street, bro. That's not how this business works.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like by the time the next CBA needs to get started, players need to put in their contract like, yo, look, if I can hoop and I'm healthy and ain't no reason why I can't go except for y'all don't want to play me, and it's not even a coaching decision, it's because y'all just don't want to play me, I should be able to stand up in front of people and say, yo, I want up out of here and y'all need to move me now. Like, I don't want to hear that, oh, that's tampering, or, oh, you violating your contract.
Not it's tampering.
It's not tampering. It's not tampering. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like there needs obviously the NBA is the one league in the world where the players have gained a lot of power recently, and they've become
voice.
It comes with their words, but it doesn't mean that it's done yet. It doesn't mean that the goal's been completed. And I think that's clearly of note with situations like this because players are learning to maneuver free agency better, and they're learning to call the shots in their deals. They're starting to sign. You know, if you're a big name dude and you don't want to be attached to a team for that long, you sign a 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 1 year, player opt. You drop your 30 a game. You go out and you get a new contract because there's no real loyalty in this, and there's no reason to provide loyalty. Like, look at every loyal dude in the NBA right now, bro. Tell me how many of them are happy. If you didn't get drafted into a major name, bro, and you've been in the league like, what, 10 plus years?
10 plus, yeah. Solid vet, yeah.
Are you really happy? Probably the only happy one is probably Damian Lillard up in Portland.
Yeah.
John Wall was mad. Bradley Beal was mad. Who else has been a long time in a place, bro, and didn't? Blake Griffin, another. Andre Drummond, another. It's like, yo, these teams, y'all not really figuring it out, bro, and y'all keep blaming the players. It's always a player. We got to move in a different direction. How about y'all pick a new direction?
Mm-hmm.
If the player is what he was advertised to be and you're still not happy with what you got, the player ain't the problem.
Yeah, at all. And that's the thing. I think it's the problem. Yeah, and it's a problem too because what kind of security do you show to your players then? It's because you get to this point where it's like, okay, we drafted you, or hey, we traded for you because we sought after you. We wanted you, and sometimes it's maybe not even a one, but it could sometimes be a desire of a fill that they need, whether it be scoring. We know Dre Drummond to be known as a big-time rebounder, shot blocker, whatever you want to call it, defense, interior. He finished at the rim, whatever. But all of a sudden, now you don't need that anymore because you drafted a young, promising guard that's injured now, Sadiq Bey, and then they got Stewart from Washington. So, I mean, so the thing that I feel like as an owner, a GM, a coach, whatever, in leadership executive role, you need to know the direction of where your team is, whether you're a contender, you're buying, or you're selling. If you're selling, you're going to trade up, you're going to go stock up, whatever you want to get. If you're buying, you're willing to give up. And then if you're a contender, you're going to go all in. So it's this thing because there's these teams. If you notice, AC, and you know this too, bro, there's teams like, oh, we're playoff bound, but we're not fully in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So, they'd be halfway through the season and be like, oh, yeah. Well, we don't really know. We're a middle of the pack team. Are we going to dump these guys? And it's like, all right, bro, you have to commit to a direction.
Exactly.
Because you got to do that. You're telling these 15 dudes on the roster, yo, your job is to go out every night and win. Every night and win as many games as possible. And then you go out and you trade the best player because you want to rebuild mid-season. That's not, you're not telling me. You're not to do what you're asking me to do. I'm paid millions of dollars to win basketball games. The more you win, the more money you make. So if you're telling me, if you move the best player we have, bro, and then now you want to, now we're losing, and you're like, well, why are we losing? Well, you moved the best player we have.
You just traded your best player.
Win, and you think that I'm supposed to make up for that? And then when we get to contract negotiations, you'll be like, well, you didn't add this, this, and this. I didn't add what you took away. You took that away. I can't, like, what am I supposed to do, mid-season fix that situation? You go pick up a new draft pick the next year, and I'm supposed to, that new draft pick, was, like, what is that supposed to do, bro? These, they swear they're the number one draft pick. Okay. Let me get serious, bro.
Let me hear your tangent, bro.
Let me pull this up, actually.
Are you talking about number one overall picks, or are you talking
Because everybody puts so much stock in number one overall, number one draft picks, and who goes number one and why that's so important. And they all end up drafting, tanking to get number one overall draft picks. And it's like, all right, bro, like that's a thing, but of the last 5-6 double overall draft picks, whose team is really balling like that? I wonder why. Because they got drafted to a horrible team. And that same team has no ability to find someone that can actually work with you. They have no ability to get anybody in free agency, which is
right.
Would have never had you in your pick in the first place. Ben Simmons, number one overall draft pick. Still has never
out of LSU.
Gotten the Sixers further than where they've already been. Both on the same team have accomplished practically nothing. Karl Anthony Towns, number one overall draft pick.
Well, 2015.
Why is Anthony there? Anthony Bennett, number one overall. Like, these number one overall draft picks, like, don't get me wrong, they're the best players come out of college, and a lot of them go on to be straight up all-stars off rip, bro. But how many them are changing their organization within the first 3-4 years, dog.
Right.
They can't do it because unless you're like,
you have to be in a great position in order for that to happen, though.
You have to be in a great position, or you have to be that good. You literally have to be. I only mentioned LeBron because LeBron did it, but you don't have.
That's fair.
You have to be good enough. You have to be that kind of good in order for you to affect that garbage ass situation you were drafted in, and then be told, you know, you can fix it. And then they want you to sign a 5-year contract extension and then still do nothing. It took what the Suns, six years of Devin Booker's career to finally get him another all-star?
Yeah.
Finally get him another player that can actually get double-digit stats, and they had to get him in the draft. These players are asked to give loyalty to fans and teams because you made it to the league and they took a chance on you. But it's like, like, I took a chance. I mean, I don't have a choice, right? Because I got drafted. Like, but I still got a choice. Let's not get it confused. You drafted me, and because I want to play my whole life, I signed the contract. Let's not get this confused and say, they took a chance on you, bro. Nah, Brody. I took a chance also on them because if I chose to not sign that contract, I could have gone undrafted because I knew I'm nice. I could have gone where I wanted to. But I took a chance to let you sign me and you prove to me I should be there and I can be something. I'm just like, this is a mindset. Why do teams get to sit there and act like this is like they got the golden ticket and it's the Willy Wonka factory ride? Like, if I don't play, bro, if I don't come, you don't have nothing to show. So they need to get a further grasp of, all right, look, yeah, he put people in the seats. Yeah, this and yeah, that. All right, but he's still a professional, man. He's still a man, still a husband, still somebody's father, still somebody. This they be playing with grown men, bro. And I really understand. Like I think a lot of these athletes don't get a lot of credit for their professionalism, bro. Because you probably know a whole bunch of dudes. If they was put in the same situation and we got a contract or we already agreed to, and now you telling me I'm going from Golden State and you shipping me all the way to go play with Milwaukee and I don't got no choice, I'm gonna have some issue about that, bro. We gonna have a problem, mm-hmm. especially with the way NBA teams do it. They don't give you no notice, they barely give you notice. If you're not a starting lineup, if you're not an all-star, we're not even telling you, by the way, hey, we're looking to shop you. We just gonna give you a call. Yo, hey, this is a Carl Towns agent. Hey, yeah, by the way, go ahead and pack your bags. Y'all going to Atlanta. That's what they do. They just tell you, hey, look, thank you for your time. Thank you for this, thank you for that, which is just all hollow. And then they say, yo.
It's grave. It's really grave. Yeah.
Be on your way. And it's like, well, why is that okay? Because the minute I leave in free agency or I start trade speculations or this, that, and third, y'all like, man, y'all can't do your team like that. You got teammates. You got your teammates. You got your coaching staff. You got this. You got that. And you can't give up on them, right? Why are you trying to guilt me? Why are you trying to guilt me? I'm not giving up on them, bro. I'm not giving up on them. And if we're going to call it giving up for the players, you need to call it giving up when the team does it too, bro. If the team gave up. They gave up on Andre Drummond. They gave up on Kevin Love. They be giving up on all kind of players. Call a spade a spade. Teams be giving up. And just because they have some billion-dollar owner up at top and they can go out and buy the next dude and move on like their life is just perfectly fine, doesn't mean it's cool. Mm-hmm. And Adam Silver, I mean, he can't do much right now, but I'm telling you, bro, when that collective bargaining agreement start, when the negotiations start up again, because it expires in the next few years, we might see a lockout, dog, because they're going to need to improve some of these rules, man.
The tampering rule for sure, bro. The tampering rule for sure.
Tampering rule needs to go, bro, because, man, if you actually believe that nobody else in the league tampers besides the people who speak in front of the media, mm-hmm. Come on, bro.
KD just told James Harden this summer he wants him to come play with him in Brooklyn.
Come on, man. Like, why is that tampering?
Not, no trip or no problem, but exactly.
Do you think that besides the GMs, right? Because they're the main guys, okay? GMs, right. Their emails, all that. That gets watched. But besides the GM, bro, anybody that works under the GM, I'm almost positive, bro, that they have some kind of tampering and colluding and collusion going on in that, bro. There's no way. You got to figure out who you want, who they want, what y'all and what I need. Y'all all back and forth, backdoor dealing, or like trading all this. Man, there is a whole bunch of something going on there. I know that for a fact. It was probably call up my man who's a GM for this team. Hey, yo, man, I'm trying to see what y'all think about his value. Tampering. Are they monitoring that? No,
it's not
on national TV. It's not on Twitter, bro. But that right there is tampering. But that doesn't make any sense. That rule is like you can't even talk about NBA players can't even talk about NBA players, bro. All Draymond Green said was, yo, this Phoenix Suns need to get Devin Booker a better team, bro. Tampering. Fine. That's not tampering, bro. That's a statement. That is my statement someone who works in the same workplace I live. That's not tampering, bro. We just may not be the same team, but that's not tampering. I didn't say, hey, yo, your team suck. Come join my squad. That's tampering.
No, that's bad. Yeah.
You know, like, and I just feel like they're like because the league is moving more and more and more and more into players' control, you're seeing like you're starting to notice the small ways in which that the players never really had control. It's like, why have I never had control over anything? You know, why have I never had control over these situations? If you worked anywhere else in America, bro, you sign a contract. If within the contract, if you have the right to leave, right, you have the right to leave. You go shop around, you go interview somewhere else. You can go interview with somebody else while still on the job, right?
A coach can do it.
Assistant coaches be, bro, NBA final, mid-NBA final. The assistant coach for that team in the NBA Finals, be over there or like get interviewed for another job. How you coaching in the NBA Finals, bro? And you talk about taking a job on another team by next season. Mm-hmm. Why is that okay? Why are you not focused here? Why is that okay with coaches, bro? Because if you was in the NBA Finals, my nigga, and let you in the NBA Finals, bro, and the star player decided, yo, hey man, we down 3-2, bro. I don't even know if this is gonna work. I mean, even if I do win, I don't want to play with y'all no more. I can go win easier. I don't got to deal with this headache, and then go start talking to other teams.
They're all checked out. The coach is checked out.
You can't do that, bro. Like, come on, man. Are you gonna tell me that Doc Rivers wasn't a little checked out when the Clippers lost in that series, bro? You wasn't checked out at all. You wasn't thinking about the next spot because you knew it was your last year, and you knew if you didn't win, you was going somewhere else. I guarantee you, in all three of those record blowing losses, bro. Yeah, his mind was oh, Philly.
Yeah, he was blown. Like, he was blown out by it.
Looking, are we gonna blame Doc Rivers? No. Why? Because that's normal, bro. That's normal. That's okay. It's okay, and it should be okay for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because NBA players, bro, where are we gonna go play? Where can we go play? Gonna go play overseas?
In China, right?
You got one league, bro. You got one real league. You make money. If you go anywhere else, you're being underpaid for what the talents you have to offer. So you basically kind of, I mean, they have a low ball monopoly on it because other than the people that, I mean, in the other leagues, if you want to make some real money and live off basketball as your primary job and your only job, play in the NBA, bro. And when you play in the NBA, you play by the NBA's rules. And some of these rules is janky. And we see that, bro. We see that more clear than ever. And I'm sure Draymond Green probably going to get fined for making the comments he made about the double standards. Because you're not allowed to speak out against your – not allowed to speak out against who's in charge of you. Like,
right.
It's an archaic kind of setup, bro. But
The fear I see in it all is with the collective bargaining agreement foreseeing the future, not trying to get too deep into it, but there could be a potential lockout that's going to last a long time. I mean, we could possibly be back in that last of where we were back in the 2011 season, remember, where players were playing their own leagues, like they're playing in their own pro-am leagues locally and stuff like that. And I mean, yeah, we got the pandemic going on right now, but as time passes, you possibly could see something like that just off of the fact of the acceptance of a player. A player wants their voice to be mattered and heard. And also, too, you don't want to seem like, oh, you're just being thrown on the rug. Like, here, go out there and go perform and make us money so we can pay you. No, it's not like that. People need their respect. James Harden just requested a trade this past season and possibly had anger issues about the situation with his team last year going into the bubble. But at the same time, though, he still played. Whether he didn't try or fully participated, he was on the team. Yeah, he was making his comments and he made his statements and he was against the fact and state of his team. But if you think about AC, the same time, he's still obligated to his team. Yeah, and he came late. Yeah, we were questioning. We were talking our mess, bro. We were talking mess. Don't get me wrong. But he came. And so you have to respect him for that at the same time. But then you got a situation like Dre Drummond, you got Blake, you're not even playing him. Like, come on now. Like, what kind of sense does that show to them? Because, okay, so James Harden can go out here and do all this stuff. But then when I go do it, you guys are going to try to put the narrative and script on me like, oh, okay, I'm checked out. No, he's not checked out. You guys checked him out. And so now the media or the people like around the antics of it all, like, you know, the reporters and stuff, they're going to be like, oh, okay. He doesn't want to play anymore. He's disinterested. No, it's not. He obviously wants to play on the team, but the team doesn't want him anymore. So he doesn't have a choice but to go figure out a new situation or get a new mental mindset and figure out where he wants to go and what he wants to be. For those two guys, though, like where do you possibly see them going? I know we see like Andre Drummond possibly with the Raptors, and the contract for Blake Griffin is pretty hefty, though, still kind of with that 1 year left.
Dude, yeah, that
what you think?
I think Blake is probably the more interesting of the two because Blake has come out with a lot more of it. It's an impressive offensive game that he now has in his repertoire.
It's a playmaking skill set now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. And I mean, I never thought that I would know the Blake Griffin that can do what Blake Griffin does now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it. And like, I think because he has the offensive game, I think he needs to go to a team. Obviously, he's about 31, 32. And so he would like to go to a contender. He wants to go to a contender to compete for a championship. Like, what else is there to do at this point in your career? I don't really know who wants to take on Blake contract. Like, and so that's why I think for Blake, it has to be a buyout. Like, if Blake doesn't get bought out, I don't think anyone's coming to come get him. Because, yeah, he has a lot of value. But, I mean,
Blake's a lot of teams don't have the capital to send it over.
I mean, Blake Griffin, what? I think he gets this year $32 million? Like,
yeah.
That's a lot that you got to, you know what I'm saying? You got to stretch and maneuver to make work, especially if you're, I don't know. I mean, I really don't
his
know.
His salary is about $34 million. This year he's supposed to be making, his base salary right now is $36
million. Jesus, man. Like,
because he has that five, he remember he signed before he signed that 5-year $171 million. He's near that max level contract.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. Like, I mean, because if I look at it right now, like if I look at the teams that are all in the playoff contention at this moment, from the East, Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Celtics, Pacers, Knicks, Raptors, and Hornets, most of them don't really need a four. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he goes back to the West.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he would, like, I feel like if Blake could get picked up on a buyout by, like, the Hornets, that would make them, like, a guaranteed
team.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, like for sure.
If the Bulls pick him up, like, I feel like that'd be, like, something, like, they could help, you know, and get Zach LaVine some help, bro. As a matter of fact, go get one of these two dudes, bro. Get Zach LaVine some help immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But he might have to go to the West. But then again, even those teams in the playoff contention don't really they, like a lot of teams are kind of solid with their starting big. And I'm not sure if I view Blake Griffin as a backup forward anymore, like at this point. I mean he puts
up good. He's still a starter. I mean he averages 21 points a game.
But to be fair, if you're gonna be a starter and you're 31, but you want to be on a contender, you gotta be like that. Or that contender cannot have a good forward. And so I'm saying, like, for the contenders that you can see right now, I don't know where he fits in at the four spot. Because I'm not putting Blake at the three, bro. I'm sorry. Blake is if you if that could work, bro.
Mm.
And Portland always needs more forwards because every single year Portland is injuries. Out of four at the end of the year, bro.
Zach Collins is hurt.
Like last year was like incredible, bro. Nurkic out, Hood out. Collins out. Like, they literally had to go pick up Carmelo Anthony from nowhere because they had zero forwards. So that would work.
Yeah, and he produced, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that Blake would do well on a team like Memphis, I think, as well. I mean, they got a lot of young dudes, and I think if they move maybe a young dude or two, they could probably I'm not doing the trade talk because I feel like if you tried to trade – you'd probably have to give up more picks than players, really. I feel like
that's more draft cap. You have to give up draft capital. More
players than picks. I feel like Memphis has a lot of young talent, not as many draft picks going forward. So I don't know.
They're not going to want to get rid of Brandon Clark or anybody like that either. I wouldn't want to.
Anderson or any of the other dudes that get minutes, you know. So I'm not really sure. You know, they got a solid team. There'll be a potential playoff team this year. I don't know if Blake Griffin is the boost they need to start messing with what they got going on. But Andre Drummond, if you ask me, man, has had probably one of the worst careers as far as an NBA player playing on horrible teams, man. Like, dude went from Detroit. To the Cavs, bro. Like, didn't even see anything more prosperous. Like, literally went from bad to bad, bro. They're both right now. They both have 19 losses, and the Detroit has 8 wins, and Cleveland has 10 wins. So basically, both equally garbage. Drummond needs to find himself a team that needs a center. And Drummond also is not a backup center at this point in his career.
Man. No, he's not.
He's not. Mm-hmm. And
he still can produce.
If he comes to the West, I'm being honest, a team that really could use, bro, and probably would do well. It's probably Kings, man. Like Kings for real. I mean,
don't get me wrong. Bigger upgrade for Sean Holmes, yeah.
Love, you know, they're doing. They got Buddy Hield balling. De'Aaron Fox is hooping. Mm-hmm. Marvin Bagley, my man. You've been in the league a few years now. I'm still waiting, man. Still waiting. Now I'm gonna just be honest with you. When that draft happened, as a Suns fan, I wanted to take Marvin Bagley over DeAndre. I'm gonna just come out here. I wanted Bags over Ayton. Now, at point 2 years later, ain't no contest. I ain't heard Marvin Bagley name in a while.
He's always been slumped out, quiet sleep, injured, whatever.
So if I'm the Kings, you can box him up, get him out of there. Shoot, or if I pick up Blake on a regular contract, I'm shipping Duke out of there. Maybe I'll ship out Harry Giles, because both of them ain't been doing nothing. I mean, they've been the same players for a majority of their career, both albeit young players. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, the development hasn't been there. Like we're not gonna make excuses just because you're young. You can still develop every year, and I mean, we've seen that.
Course.
Like, I don't feel that the development from Marvin Bagley has been what was expected from a number two overall draft pick. I mean, he's averaging 13 points right now on 7.5 rebounds, less than an assist a game, and half a steal, half a block on 25 minutes. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I guess, you know, like, it's okay, bro, but from my starting power forward who I drafted, like, number two overall, I kind of need a little. I need more, bro. I just need more.
You expected way more.
Expect way more.
And especially the hype that came with Marvin Bagley out of Duke. Especially that was the crazy part about it.
Exactly.
He was a monster at Duke. Like, he was ripping heads and everything. But now it's just like, you know, consistency, health, minutes. Complaint, like, I don't know, bro. Like,
I'm not gonna put it all on Marvin Bagley. I know I was just
it's not all
garbage ass organization up north, and the fact that they hired a goofy ass coach when they didn't need to hire him. He failed in LA after being an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, how much coaching is required in a team that basically runs?
I mean, he had a handpicked team with Kevin Durant, Steph, and Clay. I mean, don't get me wrong, he coached and he got the wins, but
no, bro.
And Draymond,
you came in, you were an assistant coach of Steve Kerr, bro. The system was already created. The players knew the system. They've been playing it for 3-4 years. They knew what to do, bro. And then you went to the Lakers and you did diddly squat. You ain't do jack, bro. The Lakers ran you out of town because you didn't do anything. You ask any Laker fan right now, bro, and they all don't like Luke Walton as a coach. As a player, when he played, they're like, yeah, Luke. But as a coach, they all said, get him out of there, bro. And the Kings, what did the Kings do? As soon as the Lakers let him go, the Kings picked him up and have done nothing since. Nothing. Just a perpetual state. Kings, man. That's like what they do. They got a brand new stadium, still ain't hosted a playoff game. It's what they do.
All that money for nothing.
You just feel bad for players, man, because it's like, all right, bro, I'm stuck here playing. You know, 3-4 years. You know, De'Aaron Fox, you got to sign the extension. You have to. They offered it to you. Yeah. You're not going to get that money nowhere else.
He just signed it. Yeah, he just signed it this year.
So you got to sign it. And now it's like, all right, bro, we're still fighting. You know, we're 12-15. I mean, they're fifth in the Pacific Division because the Pacific Division is crazy right now. But
yeah, the Lakers, the Clippers.
I mean, like, they need so much. Bro, and I'm not sure, but Drummond would do great on that team. I also feel like if Drummond stays in the East, which is where he's home, he would do just fine. I think, if I'm being honest, if a team like Houston, if Houston went out and got Drummond, bro, and they run Drummond the way they run Capella, because Capella averages the same kind of board as Drummond is right now. If you can run, if you can, what? You could be a playoff team right now.
That would be off. Nice, yeah.
You got C Wood and what?
C Wood, Bug, J Wall,
Dio. You got Curtis off the bench. Come on now.
EG. Yeah, that would be nasty.
Especially in playoffs when it slows down and you got bigs, bro. Because if you're gonna be in the West, you gotta be able to guard the bigs in come playoff time. Because Jokic is gonna eat you up, man. Like that.
Oh yeah, no question.
Man. That is he dropped what 42 tonight?
Yeah. Best in the league right now, bro. In my opinion.
Hey, I mean, we can have a debate. We can definitely have a debate. I'm sure people will definitely have another debate. I think that it's definitely between him and Embiid, bro. And it really just depends on which game and which play style you are more in tune with, really. Because Jokic don't give you jack on defense. That man gives you nothing on defense.
He's slow though, AC.
Something, but like come on, bro. Like if it's even close to a fast break or open possession, bro, I'm not getting down the court to guard nobody. You know that.
That's true. But
because that's true. When you come back to the court, you know he's gonna get bucket, you're like, all right, it's fine. Like it balances out. Mm-hmm. At least with Embiid, I know Embiid can guard people. You know, Embiid can put somebody in clamps. But then again, with Embiid, you also don't really know what kind of player you're gonna get offensively. Sometimes, you might get that ground and pound Embiid where he's in the paint, 13 for 20 on 15 rebounds, and then you might get that 30 point Embiid who shot 5 threes. You know, who made 5 threes, shot 7 of them. You never really know what you're gonna get. So I'm really happy that we got two major bigs that are doing great this year because. Bigs are definitely underrated in this time
and underappreciated now too. If you think about it,
underrated. Everybody want to shoot. Everybody want to be shooters, pull it from three, yada yada. But it's like, hey, them two easy points in the paint are gonna be there from now until forever. And height is something you can't teach. Right. I'm saying forever. Height is something you can't teach. And I'm glad that the NBA still has bigs that are showing people that this era and this style of this position of basketball is not. It's not going away. It's not archaic. Because they always talk about positionless basketball. Now you got guards that can play the five, fives that can play the guard, wings that can play all five. Like it's positionless basketball. But like, yeah, the position still kind of exists. You still need a point guard to guard them, hold the ball, still need a center, be down there and grab some rebounds.
And now, grab rebounds, yeah.
Small forward can grab some rebounds and push the rock. Congratulations, bro. But if your center can't get no boards,
what value do you provide?
His value.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Remember a couple episodes back we were talking about Evgeny Zubac?
Mm-hmm. That brings us right back to circling the main point. Andre Drummond. Man, lead the league in rebounds every single year, bro. Average.
Oh, yeah. He's probably one of the best rebounders we've had in
– See, and look
as how we've grown up.
Look how they're trying to do him. That's why rebound is not valuable, bro. Who else is getting as many boards than me? I mean, I understand that now in the league, there are more players who are getting a large amount of boards. I mean, let me see who's. I know Clint Capella is leading right now. Andre Drummond is at the two spot with that.
Drummond's averaging 13.5, so basically like 14 rebounds a game. But years prior, though, like
probably got 14,
16 rebounds for like. Damn near 4 years straight from like 2017 all the way up to like that 2019 prior to the bubble. Like,
yes, bro, yes, 16 boards a game.
But Drummond's been on a tear though with rebounds, and he's an easy double-double machine too. Remember, this is old, bro. Remember Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond, bro? They used to be like,
yeah, bro, I remember
a
that.
Solid duo, but yeah, besides Greg Monroe, like. Not worrying about him, but like Drummond used to be a double double machine every night. He still is. Like he might not score as many points as he used to, but dude can easily get put back buckets as you want.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, he's averaging 17.5 points this year.
Yeah,
17.5 on 13.5. So it's like, come on, man. I'm only 27. Okay, he got drafted in 2012. Like,
Dre's still young. I'll be forgetting that.
That old.
Mm-hmm.
I just I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that the NBA and certain teams need to be valued.
Hey, that's always, bro. Been tough. Mm-hmm. Always some amazing new thing.
But yeah, that's something that I feel like we need to try to like. Oh, yeah, you're good. You good?
Yeah, bro. It was an ad.
Oh, no, you're good. How you feel about with the injury with Anthony Davis re-aggravating his Achilles and with also, too, he had a calf strain. So he's going to be out about, like, I believe they said 2 to 4 weeks. What kind of impact do you see that with the Los Angeles Lakers in the West?
I mean, I see that having some impact, if I'm being honest. I don't see it having a major impact on the Lakers because the Lakers have
– they still have a lot of depth.
They have a lot of talent, and they've got a lot of players who aren't rookies, bro. Like, they got players who've been in the system. Kuzma's been there for some years. Caruso's been there, you know.
Morris, Trez.
Last year. Trez is new. Mm-hmm. Schroeder's new, but – you got Horton Tucker, who's been there. Like, you got guys.
KCP. Cole Pope has
been there. You know, like, so it's not like the team is in and you have LeBron James. So I've seen teams with LeBron and so much less on the roster do so much that I'm not concerned about the Lakers at all. At all. Losing your second best or a best, whatever you want to call Anthony Davis, losing him before the All-Star break, like, that's not really troubling to me. Now, if this happened post All-Star break, that's
– yeah, going into the playoffs, I would be really scared.
Rolling. After the All-Star break, you got to lock in, win all your games, and get playoff ready. But before the All-Star, players get injured for, 2 weeks. Obviously, it's one of those injuries where you wish he hadn't had it. Sadly, he re-aggravated it. We hope that once it heals this time, he doesn't get re-aggravated again once he returns to playing to the court. But, I mean, the Lakers are going to be the Lakers. I don't see – I mean, they're still currently sitting at the number 2 team in the West. They probably will still be a top 4 team when Anthony Davis comes back, and it'll probably be only a difference of about 2-3 games. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to diminish AD's impact, but I don't think losing AD for a few weeks is going to completely kill the Lakers off or they're going to tank or anything like that. I mean – I still feel that the same thing would happen if the Lakers had LeBron and LeBron had to take 2 weeks off. You know what I mean? Obviously, we know LeBron barely was injured. But LeBron had to take 2 weeks off and AD got to carry the team. I've seen AD carry a team. I've seen AD carry the Pelicans in the playoffs, bro, and they blasted Portland. Portland fans don't act like we don't remember that, bro. AD whooped the Pelicans. I mean, whooped the Portland Trailblazers, bro. But we don't let that slide. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't really see that having that big of an impact. I mean, the team is a good team. They won a chip last year. They didn't lose like anything. I mean, you just move Trez into the starting lineup, and you run that five. Like, it's business as usual. Like, it's Lakers. When you have a team like when you got a deep team, bro, it's just next man up, and that's just the mentality. And when you actually know that you have talent, you're not really concerned because the next man up has talent. The next man up would have started on another team. That's the reason why he's not starting on this. Like, there's a reason why he's not starting. He would have started somewhere else, bro, but chose to not start here. So I'm not really concerned. Right?
I don't think it's something that fans should fear because, I mean, you know, there's a crap ton of Laker fans. I mean, I'm one of them. But I think the fear was more so just the injury itself rather than the impact that it would have on the team as a whole because I feel like the Lakers will be fine either way. I mean, the team, like you said, the team we have depth. We got Morris, Kuzma, Harrell. Like, they'll be fine. And then Marcus Gasol too. I mean, like, so they'll be fine, like, either way. But I think the primary concern is they don't want to see a long-term injury. So I think the Lakers are playing smart with Pelinka and with Rich Paul, having them sit for however long they need to, extend it longer than they need to, just because you don't want to see no drastic injury happen too. Because if, like you said, it happens later on, like post All-Star break, going into like April or March, we would have a big concern because, you know, the playoffs, and then the momentum is shifted on how good your team is going into the playoffs. So I see him as fine. Coming out with how hot Utah's been right now and stuff, I see Utah probably finishing at 1 possibly. But the Lakers shouldn't jump no lower than like 3 or 4, if anything. I don't even think they'll even get to 4. They'll probably stay at 2 or 3. And then the Clippers and stuff like that. I mean, those three teams are going to trickle into that little top three rotation. So it'll work in their favor. I know you texted me yesterday with D'Lo, D'Angelo Russell out in Minnesota. He's also injured too. That's Minnesota can't catch a break, bro. I feel really bad. Like, what was your thoughts with that?
That one was just, I mean, I know I've been watching his situation. I knew it was day to day. Then now see the surgery yesterday. That's a good chunk of time. That's a month and a half. That's a good amount of basketball, especially for a team that's currently sitting at 7-21 at this point in the season. They just got Karl-Anthony Towns back a few games ago from COVID.
Yeah, from COVID.
Other things, man. AE has been balling. He's been doing his thing as a rookie. But
he's having like 17.
Yeah. Team, man, where it's just like that was a player they really needed, bro. Like, they really needed D'Lo to stay healthy, because without D'Lo being healthy, man, after what you gave up to get D'Lo, it's just you're back to now a Karl-Anthony Towns team with just Karl-Anthony Towns. It's just the same old Minnesota. And I feel bad for bro. It's the same old Minnesota team you've been playing with his whole career, bro. Like, there's nobody you can turn to. I mean, I don't get me wrong, Malik Beasley is averaging 21 a game right now, and that's great, and that's wonderful, bro. But now that D'Lo's gone, where is that gonna come from? Jalen Noel is not gonna give you. He can't step up and do that. Jarrett Culver is still an okay player. I still saw more in him at Texas Tech than he showed me in Minnesota, if I'm being honest, man.
That's true, bro. You're really not even wrong for saying that.
That guy, bro, when he got to the league. And he's been in Minnesota, and I haven't seen anything. I have been impressed with what I've seen by Naz Reid out of LSU. He's done well playing behind Cat. But, again, I mean, he wasn't projected to be anything too crazy. He's averaging 12 and 5, which is insane, bro. You're a center averaging 5 rebounds. But
yeah, he's 12-5. Yeah,
he only plays like 12 minutes a game. So we're not on his neck like that. Okay, so I'm not gonna start groaning. But that Minnesota team, man, they got it. Look, you got to make a move, man. You have to make a move.
Rubio pickup wasn't a good thing either, really.
But because you drafted a guard,
right?
And the guard drafted and the guard that you picked up are like total opposites, bro. There is nothing Anthony Edwards, a part of his game, that in any way, shape, or form resembles Ricky Rubio's form of play, bro. Like, you couldn't have picked a worse mentor for him. You would have done better if you went out and got Derrick Rose back and had Derrick Rose teaching Anthony Edwards. Because at least the explosiveness and all that, like, they would make
get into the rim and those styles.
Ricky Rubio ain't exploded off no court and nobody. Man, I love. I'm not trying to, but like, come on, bro. Like, if you want a traditional point guard and a true guard, then you go get another guy that can teach him that, bro. Like, Ricky Rubio is not the guy to teach that person.
Yeah,
and so I'm not really sure what you want him to show you. Like, I don't know, man. This roster is pretty weak, and their record shows why. I mean, their record speaks for it. Like.
Yeah,
Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Oh, Hernan Gomez, yeah.
Josh Okogie, like, I mean, these are cool players, bro. But like, that's what they are. They're a bunch of cool players, and there's one player on the court who plays above the rest of them. And I mean, and now the other one is gone. And so it's gonna be a free fall, dude. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are gonna slide. And slide, and probably in a month they'll probably have maybe they might reach 14 wins. Maybe, I mean, they got to play Indiana tomorrow, Toronto, the Knicks, Milwaukee, Chicago, the Wizards, Suns, and Charlotte. The only two teams that are even like on their level, bro, are the
Washington,
the Washington Wizards, bro, and the Chicago. And the Chicago Bulls are not even on their level. And that's kind of disrespectful to the Bulls, because the Bulls have been
better than kind of a high-low totem, yeah.
All year.
Mm.
At this rate, man, with their position right now and what they've got going on, like you tank. Could be looking at another tank. Another number one overall pick, man.
Yeah, I would tank
another. For sure. Is it even like you don't even tank at this point? Your team is that bad where if you continue to compete, you're gonna be at the bottom regardless. Like,
yeah,
bottom three.
Teams, you don't want any other injuries. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I can tell you right now, these three bottom teams will be the same. The Wizards, Pistons, and Timberwolves will be the same three bottom teams that will be there at the end of the year, bro. Like, you just know certain franchises haven't made a difference in anything. Cleveland either. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm surprised the Magic are as low as they are right now, but they've had a few injuries. They'll probably bounce back up.
Yeah, Markel injury, and then I think Cole got injured.
So they got a lot of knickknacks.
Their guard play, their guard play is kind of affected in the backcourt.
But Minnesota is for sure going to be the worst team in the West. I can guarantee it, bro. Like, I don't see another team having a free fall or falling down as far as they are. Because the Thunder are the second worst team in the West right now. And come on, bro, they're clearly better than the Timberwolves.
I mean, yeah, and they're 11-16. Yeah,
they've got a 5-11-16 right now. The talent's not even comparable. Like, we know that they are very clearly better than them. I don't really know what the Timberwolves are going to do, man. It's another franchise that's just like, yo, where are you going, man? Like, what are you – like, when Masai Ujiri becomes available, bro, teams like this need to do whatever bring out that Brinks truck, bro. You need to go get it. Like, I don't care, bro. You need to bring out that bat, bro, because
– yeah. Take him away from the Raptors or something. Well, get him to America.
I just wonder as a dude who's like, let's say I'm a billionaire owner, bro. My team from 2000 to 2021 has been more or less pathetic. Excluding the Cavs, we had that one who had one ring because of LeBron.
Yeah, good favor, yeah.
Well, no, the Pistons actually won a chip way back with
Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups, Rip, and all that.
So I'm going to include them too, but –
respect. Yeah,
in 21 plus years, y'all had what? You didn't been prosperous in 15 of them. It's been 15, and you haven't been like. What makes you keep doing? Like, I'm really want to know, bro. Like, how do you continue to keep doing the same thing you do, bro? Like,
yeah.
When are you gonna do something different? Because you're poor. You pay people millions of dollars, bro, to lose basketball games.
That's the terrible thing about it, bro.
Lose basketball games, bro. Like.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible, and the GM get to stay for 3-4 years. When he still ain't showed you he could build a roster, bro. He still had one roster that showed you any talent. He made one move that done showed you something, and they still in charge. Like, players be getting moved faster than GMs, and I'm like, well, why does the GM get to stay? Well, because he can't, because he don't play on the court. You brought the players in, bro. Why the coach got to get fired before the GM? Why the GM is always the last person to get fired, bro? The GM, the person who literally built the team, is always the last to get fired. They will trade.
And the coach has to do is set up the
roster. They'll fire the coach. They'll promote the assistant coach. And then they'll, it's about the 7th, 8th year of our GM being garbage. We still haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, but I think we're going to move in a new direction. What took you so long, bro? Like, I don't – like, teams be accepting mediocrity, bro, and they act like the players – they be like, okay – players are held such a high standard where, like, bro, if you don't win, you're nothing, bro. You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. Well, why do we treat any of these NBA franchises who continue to prove to us that they cannot win, bro, that they are something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Minnesota going to be at the bottom. What? How many? You're what, 22, bro? I'm 21. In the 20-some years we've been alive, bro, I've seen Minnesota picking the number one pick, what, at least 3-4 times, dog. That's a lot, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Cavs do at least 3-4 times too. Kyrie
Bennett,
Wiggins, Anthony Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man! Like, and
let's not forget the lottery picks, and don't forget all the other lottery picks, Tristan Thompson, those guys too. So
exactly, all the dudes that you, even the picks you probably traded, one of your number one picks over at some point. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying, like. If we don't keep it a band, we don't keep everybody to all the same standards. Everybody got to win. Well, shoot, why y'all still supporting Everybody only what Russell Westbrook has for not winning. Can't nobody win with him? Can't nobody do this? Can't nobody do that? Everybody got something. But we gonna keep dragging Russell Westbrook, and he gonna go play for the Wizards, a team that has done what? In recent memory, has done what?
Besides John Wall and Bill,
they didn't even make an Eastern Conference Finals when they had that team, bro.
No, they only made it to the semis, I think, barely.
Second round team, and that was it. That was all they were. That was their max potential. They were a glorified Clippers in the East, bro. That's really all they were.
That's fair. They were glorified Clippers.
Glorified Clippers, and now you want me? Now you want
to dynamic scoring?
You got a guy who's an MVP who you claim cannot win, and cannot get anybody to win, and you go, and then you sent him over to that team with what they got on that roster, bro, and now you don't want to talk about Russ ain't no top 50 player, and Russ,
we continue to put him in kind of these juxtaposing positions, bro.
Hey man, I mean, my man has played with the Paul George years; those were tough. You played in the West, and Paul George and Russell Westbrook just didn't get it done when they needed to. All right,
that's fair. Okay. We will give him that.
Okay, play with the Harden. You ran one of the most idiotic systems I've ever seen in my life. You were on a five-man roster with Peter Tucker as your starting center the entire year. Did you think that would win? You really thought that was going to work? You traded Clint Capella for a bag of peanuts, bro, for nothing.
Was eating the Warriors, bro.
For nothing, bro. They traded for nothing, and then the playoffs come, and AD, they meet AD first round, and AD's just like barbecue chicken, bro. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And everyone said all year, why are y'all doing this? But when it all comes down to it, don't blame Russell Westbrook. Well, shit. Harden had Russ, and Russ still ain't getting it done. Russ ain't show up. Like, the fuck am I – like, come on, bro. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, what do you want me to do? I was only there for 1 year. I didn't even get a chance to run it back. I got 1 year there. Now I'm somewhere else where –
a worse situation, way worse, bro. Come on,
way worse situation.
I
have one player that I can actually rely on, bro. Roy Hachimura is a rookie, bro. Like, I still haven't seen what. Then he went to Gonzaga, right?
Yeah,
I think it was Gonzaga.
I've
been waiting. Bro. The only other player they had that was good is Thomas Bryant, and he went and got hurt. So
unfortunate injury. Yeah,
bro. Come on, man. I'm not trying to hear that no more, bro. We still get a triple double and the padding, the stats. It's like, if I can get a triple double with bums, bro, I don't want to hear that, bro. I don't want to hear that. If I'm getting assists, that means that the same bums I'm playing with have to score buckets. I don't get assists just by passing the ball to them. They got to score. Make them score. I can give them the ball and give me wide up a layup. If they miss it, I don't get an assist, man. He averaged 12 assists a game. He's stat padding. How am I stat padding? I'm passing.
He's not stat padding nothing.
But I'm a ball hog, though. But James Harden, the ball hog, lead the league in assists. How does that work, bro? Because when I have the ball, I don't choose to pass it. But when I do pass it, y'all do well. But you see how the perspective is different. Y'all want me to pass. I score the bucket. Now you mad. I pass. They score the bucket. Now you like, well, you should have passed it sooner. You shouldn't have passed through with 8 seconds left on the shot clock. Why does that matter? Why does that matter, bro?
Mm-hmm.
Did we put points on the board? Yes. Was it an empty possession? No. So what does it matter, bro? That makes literally no difference. But people are always you're always gonna criticize over something. It is what it is, bro.
Do you actually appreciate, like, you brought up Harden? Do you like how he's been in this new offensive initiator role, like the point guard? I love it, in my opinion.
He had to be, bro. He had to be.
I love it.
No way that he was playing, he could do anything else, because if Jay was running the two, bro, and Kyrie's at the one, Kyrie can't distribute, bro. When is Kyrie distributed the basketball? Ever.
Never,
bro. Even with
he wants to shoot. You know he wants to be a shot creator, bro.
He wants to be that guy, bro. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But you can't be the point guard. You're the point guard. Every trip up and down the court, if you don't give me the ball, bro, the only way I can get the ball is by getting it off your miss.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, bro. So if you're going to be the guy that want to score all the points, and what am I supposed to do? Just run and set screens? Like, that, I mean, yeah. But Golden State, basically, that's all their players do. They get paid millions of dollars just run and set screens all day. But if I'm – Come on, man. So I knew that James Harden had to play the one because he can actually facilitate. We've seen James Harden run the one for an entire season and was one of the best players in the league. So I'm not really surprised by that. I'm glad he's running the one.
I love it, bro.
Glad that Kyrie is okay with it, you know, or whatever the case may be, because Kyrie is a two, bro. Let's cut the crap, bro. Kyrie is small, and that's why he's always been at one. But
he's like six.
And because he got crazy handles. He got stupid handles. But if Kyrie was
– that's what you probably seen, yeah.
If Kyrie was four-inch taller, bro, he would have been a guaranteed two, a guaranteed three, because there's no reason he'd be running the one, bro. Like, he's not a point guard, bro. Like –
kind of like an AI,
He's a guard, but he's not a point guard. Don't put the point on it. He's not running no offense. He's not calling no plays and setting you up. Nah, my guy, nah. I'm going to dance. I'm going to do my little thing. And if I get trapped and I see you,
just like I'm going to dish it quick. Yeah, it's a quick dish. It's
not I'm not looking for you, though. Nah, bro. Nah, this possession, this is mine, bro. And if you see that jersey get untucked, forget it, bro. You can forget it.
Oh,
if,
it's over. Kobe biting the jersey.
Put me out, bro. I'm not just running out here bro. Put me out of the game because I'm just gonna be playing defense at that point. When the jersey gets untucked, he making every shot and he taking every shot. So if I'm not getting no rebounds and all I'm doing is playing defense, bro, get me out of the game, man. Get me out of the game.
That is true. The team's very benefiting of it too, bro. Because I was, bro, me and you both, though, we were pretty afraid. Like, okay, like, what's the situation going to be with this? But I like the Harden position he's in right now. It gives him a big boost, chemistry wise. Defense, they're starting to figure it out a little bit more. So better,
No, they're not.
I think they are.
I'm watching them play the Suns right now. Okay, I've been watching this entire.
What's the score?
It is 63-43 with 4 minutes and 10 seconds left in the second quarter, bro. Second quarter. The Phoenix Suns have 63 points in the second quarter. With 4 minutes left, bro.
No. 4 minutes. No KD. No KD.
No Kyrie. I don't care. Y'all got to guard somebody, bro. Y'all got to guard somebody, dog. Like,
yeah.
It's unacceptable, bro. You got to guard somebody. Right?
That is true. That's fair. You want to wrap us up?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Thank you guys for again listening to another podcast here with the Checkup Podcast. We love all the support you guys are showing us. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. We just love basketball, man, and just being able to sit here and just talk about basketball every week. I know it's great for me. I mean, my girlfriend gets tired of hearing me talk about basketball. She only watch games with me because she's like, I'm not trying to do that. So definitely just having a platform to just get out here and just talk about things we're passionate about is definitely awesome. Mm-hmm. We appreciate all you guys. Be sure to, you know, promote us on social media if you can, or let your friends know about us. I'm going to do a quick little promotion plug. Shout out my guy, my roommate, Joel. He's got a brand. Yeah. You see, man, Monty Rashing right now. It's for the win. Look him up on Instagram. Great brand. Great meaning. I got mine. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like the white and blue, you know what I'm saying?
We got different colors and stuff.
Laker purple for you, man. And if you need something even more simple, we got the black and white for you as well. So just be sure to check them out. Support black-owned businesses, local businesses. Support your friends, man. You don't need to always go and buy from major corporations, man. If you know somebody that's selling them something, got a little clothing line or something, $20, $25 to something, it means a lot more to somebody than a corporation.
Get a tax write-off, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tax write-off, all that kind of stuff. Just support your people, man. Just support people because that's the way people grow to be who they are. Calvin Klein didn't become Calvin Klein if people didn't support, man. You know, like, you got Sean John, they become Sean John if people wasn't buying Sean John. So, you know, support your people, man.